Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, it's me, Jessica. I'm one half of Fat Mascara, and today we're going to give you some beauty news.
Jess is under the weather. Welcome to Fat Mascara. I asked her to do the introduction. She's like, I'm hurting. Why are you sick?
And then Bill was mocking me because I can't completely, like, fully extend my arms. Well, yesterday I did boxing.
Because you're allergic to exercise and, as a long-time
pod. I'm so sick. Yeah. I'm so sick.
I'm sure it was the boxing class that
did
it.
No, I think, honestly, I think it shook up, like, the toxins in my body. I think, I'm not joking, I think it shook something up or it rendered me vulnerable to what's out there.
Remember last time you were doing a group fitness class and you're like, I think I might be allergic to it.
Yeah, because then my face stung for, like, 4 days.
All right, so people, bear with us. Jess is under the weather.
But I do want to get fit. It's not going to stop me. I'm not afraid.
Okay. Just hang in there. We're still going to do the show. It's still going to be fabulous.
I'm sorry, guys. This is not going to be like my finest hour. No Peabody Awards for this girl today.
I think it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about, I'm in a holiday mood. You might be sick, but how you transition from like work to holiday party, but also your end of the day makeup fixes. I have like a couple strategies and I'm sure you do too. Then big news in the beauty world. We're going high tech once again. VR, virtual reality. NYX is introducing it into the retail environment. I have some thoughts on VR in the beauty world. If Jess rallies, she might have some as well. And lastly, we both have long hair now. It's dry. It's winter. Detangling. Like, I know we all learned how to brush our hair when we were 7, but I feel like I need to revisit the whole detangling thing. I've been having issues lately. So just everybody buckle up, bear with us.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's the end of the year. Who is our guest, Jess?
Vicky Tsai from Tatcha Beauty. I've been trying to get her on the show for a while.
Yeah, she's the best. She started Tatcha. She's going to share with us geisha beauty secrets.
Geisha beauty secrets.
She's done a lot of research in Japan.
Centuries old.
Yeah.
Time tested.
It's going to be good, even though, you know, we're just
Got a box of Kleenex next to me.
Yep, let's do this, people.
And a bottle of wine. I'm actually not drinking right now. Drinking
but I
tea.
Am.
I know.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Bah,
been a busy blur. Don't think I have the energy to add to my already mad rush. Just because it is the season, the perfect gift for me would be completions and connections.
Jess, I want to tell you my new theory of end of the day makeup refresh and see what you think about it.
Okay.
I have sometimes dry, sometimes oily skin. I'm going to call this the smear around theory of beauty refreshment.
Smear around?
Smear around? Okay. Mush around?
Oh, I was thinking like Smirnoff, like S-M-I-R.
No,
smear.
Like... Vodka's not involved.
Okay.
It might need a rebrand. Let me tell you what it is, and then you give it a better name. So if I'm feeling dry, at the end of the day, your makeup's just sort of like oxidized and weird, and things are like not correctly in the place. I think Emily from Glossier. Why am I calling her Emily? What's Glossier's founder's name?
Emily Weiss.
Thank you. It is Emily.
Past podcast guest.
Yes. She was saying it's like Picasso. Like your face is just like a little bit in pieces and you got to get them right. If I have dry skin and that happens, I put on a moisturizer and I just rub everything back into place. Like the blush, the foundation, the concealer. I feel like it just needs a little emolliency and then it just redistributes.
Yeah. I think we could find a name like... Maybe we can crowdsource that.
Yeah.
It's like a reset, a rejuge.
However, also, if you're oily or even just a little bit greasy, I have found, do you know Hourglass's ambient powders?
Oh, yeah. I love those.
So they're sort of Emperor's New Clothes makeup for me in that you're like, do I look better? I'm not
you
sure.
You always do. Yeah.
You do, though. It's not like you can see them when you put them on. So I'll take a brush and I'll put it in one of those and then just sort of brush my whole face like a kabuki brush. Mm. And I use that sort of like I'm buffing my face back together. And then I finally, you don't have to put on more makeup. Like none of this wash.
It's not really that, that much of a color.
Yeah,
product.
It just like reorganizes your face and you don't have to wash it and start again. So that's the two tactics I've been using, which I think a lot of people need this time of year because they're doing stuff out with their friends at night, mm-hmm. holiday work parties. What do you do yourself?
What I like to do is I'm going to call it moisture theory.
Oh, that sounds much better than mine.
And I like to add moisture because I feel like, well, I have drier skin. So everything I feel like has been absorbed, like my face like eats the makeup over the day, it's gone, I touch my face. I push in moisture, whether it's an actual moisturizer first, then I might top up with a little concealer. Like now we've got
You're doing a pushing motion, you don't rub it?
Everything's push, no rubbing.
So you rub it between your fingertips
yeah,
and then press it into your
face? I press moisturizer in. And then maybe I take like a Charlotte Tilbury Wonder Glow. You could put in any kind of highlighter, like a luminizer. Push the moisture into the face mm-hmm. on top of the moisturizer or just on top of like your foundation, whatever's going on there. Maybe you don't wear foundation, whatever. Just push something like something that's going to add a little glow. Something that's going to add life and vitality.
Do you think the pushing motion is part of the... beauty of this moisture
I just
theory.
Think I like it works better than like smearing things around. I just like to push. Then I add a little concealer. You have to add concealer. Whether or not you foundation, I don't care. You're going to add concealer under your under eyes, around the nostrils, and around the mouth. Just going to brighten that area.
Oh, around the mouth.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like it gets a little dark.
Yeah, actually it does, but I never thought to put concealer there.
Around the mouth. You want to brighten up that T area underneath the eyes,
yeah.
The nose, and the mouth. And that concealer, it's got to be the creamiest one you can find.
What do you use?
I'm going to raise a wand to it at the end of the show, so guys,
Stay tuned.
So now you're light, you're luminous, and you're creamy. Now, it's up to you. Maybe you want to add a little shimmer to the eyes, or maybe you want to add like a power lip.
A power lip.
A power lip, guys. It's 1987. You want that power lip. I don't care what you do, but now your base is at least refreshed.
Yeah.
And then maybe brush up those brows.
Just for like a lift.
It's just a little bit of a lift. My brows get a little sad.
I have to say, you were literally lying on the studio table as of a minute ago. She's back to life, people.
I feel excited by this.
Talking about makeup just reinvigorates you, doesn't it?
Now, I learned this tip. I used to work at Lucky and I did fashion. And I don't remember a ton of the stuff that we talked about. It was really a bit of a blur in my head. But one of my favorite tips was... This was actually kind of a beauty tip. Maybe that's why I remember it. For holiday time, have in your bag like a ponytail holder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't wear earrings, so it's weird that I remember this. And a pair of like bomb-ass earrings.
Okay.
So put your hair up and put on some earrings. Now this with your refreshed look, and it's like, who is Susan?
Right? Susan from accounting.
Right?
She's Sue tonight. And
it's like, not like you did anything super, like you didn't put like Pat McGrath glitter bomb on your face. You just look really sophisticated and, you know, you didn't do that much. It's understated, but it's very chic.
At my work holiday party, someone did this very thing. You're absolutely right. They had those bobble bar has like very like glammy earrings, like a big statement earring.
You don't need to spend a lot too, guys.
The bobble bar, yeah. This is not a paid sponsorship or whatever. I just like truly, and I was like, oh, girl, you would not wear those every day. It was my executive editor. And she's like, I know, but it kind of works. And it does. Like a big earring is just like.
Big earring. It could be a casual ponytail, fresh skin. It's
good
really
to go.
Like not a lot of effort and you look amazing.
Okay, let's do that. Right? Let's do that, shall we? Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Jess, I have beauty news for you.
There
should be some sound effect for that. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So Samsung, the electronics company, has partnered with NYX, one of the makeup brands that we like.
NYX?
Yes. Do you say NYX?
No, I just didn't want people to think of it as NYX, like NYX this or the restaurant
or the
NYX.
Basketball team.
Yeah, no. The New York Knicks.
NYX. And they are doing a virtual reality experience for the NYX, some select NYX stores. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the weirdness of the fact that you're doing virtual reality in a real store in a moment, but it is going to be called, it starts December 18th, Impossibly NYX Professional Makeup Experience.
Okay.
So I previewed a little bit of like what it will be like. So if you don't know what VR is, it's where you take your phone and or an Oculus type VR glasses. They're on your face. It's a 360 degree immersive video and sound experience where when you move your head and move your body, that is reflected in the visuals that you are seeing. I like them for like the New York Times stories. They'll do like a really cool, you can look all around and see everything kind of experience. But so they're doing that. So you'll put on the goggles in store and then three YouTubers, and I cannot remember who they are. Oh, Kristen Leanne, Mickey, and Karen Sarai Gonzalez. They have different names for like their handles. Mm-hmm. We'll put them on the blog. Take you through shopping at the store, tutorials, grabbing at products, things like that while you're wearing the, frankly, their goggles. What are your thoughts on VR, Jess? Do you think it belongs in the beauty world?
I've seen VR a couple of times. I don't own the glasses. It was like a travel thing where I was like on the beach or the, you know, with the mountains. I got really nauseous. I had to take them off.
I actually know where you were. It was a Unilever event and they made us put them on.
Yes.
Yeah. And we went to Grasse, I think, to like where the lavender fields were. It was like an immersive VR experience in Grasse.
It was something that made me ill. But, you know, it wasn't, like, the fault of the technology. It was just, like, it's very real. You feel like, whoa, I'm on a roller coaster. Whoa, I'm, like, flying. I think it's really, it fits a lot. It fits different uses, you know, like travel or seeing something far away. I get very nervous with, like, okay, not nervous, like I'm losing sleep. But, like, I get skeptical about all of this technology with the beauty world. Because for me, I think that beauty should be about, and I'm biased because I'm like, we have a podcast, like connection and like conversation and more person to person. And maybe that I'm missing the point and maybe that is what these VR things do. But
like take off the goggles and talk to the woman that works there.
I honestly like, maybe this is why I don't work in retail right now, but like I would rather see people stepping up the training or like doing cooler things with like the counter people at Macy's or doing more really cool things where people can connect with the sales.
Like the human spirit of it all.
Yeah, because that's why I like to go to beauty stores when I am, because a layperson.
Yeah, just to chat.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to have things in my face.
I think it might be a case of technology for technology's sake, which we've talked about before. Which is like, just because you can aerosolize a foundation, should you? Mm-hmm. Or just because you can do a VR experience, should you? It definitely gives you buzz. Here we are talking about NYX. So there's that factor to it. There's always the gram factor. You know your friend, you and your friend are going to go to the NYX store. She's going to put on the goggles, and it's going to be an adorable little Insta story video because she looks so goofy in the goggles.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, if the whole point is to connect, well, then take off the damn goggles and connect with the people in the store.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how it goes. I definitely want to try it in the store, not just the little preview that I saw. And you guys should check it out too, because I imagine a lot of other beauty companies are going to get on board with this.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Hey, hey, get tangled up in me.
Jen, sometimes I learn about a lot of really cool products from listening to you on the pod. And you want to know what one of them was?
What?
The wet brush.
Oh,
I got my own wet brush the week after I heard you talk about it.
That's why we're here for each other.
I know, but like, I don't always tell you, like, when I can't, that's like really uncool to be like, yeah, you know what? I just went out and bought that because you told me to.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So you got a wet brush.
I have like a whole like stock of like Jen Goldstein approved products.
Well, I got my Charlotte Tilbury 5-minute face palette because of you. So you're welcome.
Okay, so I've got my wet brush, and the reason why I got it is because I, now that I have long hair like you, my God, I'm just doing everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. My hair is really, it's so tangled. Like,
yeah.
Like, ow, ow, I'm doing, like, ow, can't get my rake my fingers through it.
Yeah.
So, like, the wet brush is now a permanent fixture in the shower. I still don't love the way.
Oh, you use it in the shower?
Yes.
Do you keep
it in the shower?
No, I am out of the shower.
That's
and drying.
Such a fool.
No, you're not. Like, I like this idea. Do you detangle in the shower with the water still on?
Yes. Okay, we have different methods. So once I put my conditioner in, I kind of like work it through my hair as best as possible through the mid lengths to the ends, and then I use the wet brush to work it through, distribute it through all of my hair.
Oh, use it as a distribution.
And a detangler, and then I rinse it out.
And do you find then when you get out of the shower, you barely have to brush because it's already...
Correctamundo.
Interesting.
But yeah, I've been having a lot of tangling issues now that I have these long locks.
I thought you were going to say luscious for sure. Long, luscious locks.
These tresses.
Well, here's something I've learned because I actually am due for a haircut. I'm going tomorrow. And I know people still don't understand this. That you must brush from the bottom up. So you have
to grab
a hunk of hair and leave out like maybe the bottom 4 inches. Like, we're talking about people with long, fairly straight hair. All our curly girl listeners, fro girls, all that. I know you have your detangling methods, wide tooth comb when it's wet. Same idea kind of applies, which is start at the lower parts and make sure they're clear. Then you shift up to the next section of hair and brush downwards because you're not just like putting the knot in. I feel like if you start at the root and start brushing, your whatever knot was sort of forming, then you just really just lock it in by the time you get to the end.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
So tips up to roots is how
tips
you detangle.
Roots. Okay.
That's really easy
to remember. Tips to roots.
Tips to roots. It's like the pizza pie thing that we tried to do a couple pods ago.
George Washington, pizza slice. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really take off.
Long time listeners will remember. I use the wet brush. I also have another tool
that's
been helping me. So on days where, like, I wake up with dry hair because I didn't wash my hair the night before, or, like, you know, because I'm a nighttime shower, if it's just really dry, I use this product from Lush called Sunny Day, and it's an anti-static detangler spray. It's this little bottle, and it has, like, you know, it's all, like, organic stuff, so it's, like, violet and honey essences or whatnot, and it just – it's, like, an herbal tonic, and it really – it doesn't have, like, silicone in it or anything. Oh. So it's not going to give you that slip that, like, a frizzies might give you. Like, you're not going to get that, like, rich conditioning slip.
But it does do the job.
But it does the job, and it has this incredible smell, and it gets rid of frizz.
It's funny you should say dimethicone and slip, because this leads me to the final thing I want to talk about with detangling. Mm-hmm. Johnson & Johnson, No more Tangles.
Oh my God, I used to like drink that as a child.
Everybody remembers the scent if your parents used it, I guess.
Remember like the mother and child on the bottle?
It was always like a weird retro for way too long. Like even in the late, like early aughts, they still had like that weird yellow baby on the front, like yellow and
Do
white.
Think
with
it's
it.
Still there?
Well,
still
no, I looked it up right before the pod to see.
Okay.
They have a different packaging now. So basically what that product is or was, if you don't use it anymore, is there is dimethicone in it, and then there's a quat. You know, I feel like we've talked about polyquats.
That sounds filthy.
There's a quat in it. It's an ammonium salt compound, I believe, but basically it's a slip agent. They add it to conditioners because it gives that slippery feeling of dimethicone without the thickness of like a silicone, and it can build up. I will say this, though. If anybody out there has kids or has ever had to detangle a child's hair. Have you ever had to detangle a child's hair?
No, I haven't had
that. Like, we know how I feel about small mammals. Not my jam. However, I did spend a large portion of my teenage years teaching kids to swim. I was a swim instructor. Little known fact about me. And a lot of times that involved either pre- or post-pool hair issues.
God.
Like the parents wouldn't be there or the kid would have a knot or whatever. I've detangled so many kids' hair. F and A, get you some no more tangles. I don't care if there's quats and silicone and whatever. If you have a crying toddler with long hair, like I will put lard on your head to just detangle it. Like you want whatever is going to make it easier. And I'm like, the kid's not going to come back to me. I have buildup. My hair is so lank because of all the dimethicone. No, I'm going to spray you down with this like lube, and then we're going to get these knots out of your hair. Because, you know, chlorine really knots up your hair.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's great for adults because I do think those kind of products can build up. The Lush one sounds like it doesn't.
It's very nice.
But like if you've got a kid with fine long hair or even curly short hair, like you just want a slip agent, if you will.
All right.
So.
That slip agent.
Detangling tips. A lot of service in this episode, I feel like.
I do like the John Frieda Frizzy's leave-in conditioner, though. That's good. That also, I feel
I thought you meant the original hair serum. I was like,
the Frizzy's leave-in conditioner, like sometimes I'd keep my one by my desk at work if I like to brush my hair at the end of the day.
And then
that's
just
pretty good.
Smooth it out a little.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put links to all of these on the blog.
Okay.
And everybody will be smooth and tangle-free all the way till the new year.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Beautiful girls all over the world. I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you, baby. Nothing on you, baby.
We're We're here with Vicky Tsai, the founder and chief treasure hunter, ooh la la, of Tatcha, a line inspired by geisha beauty rituals, right? Mm-hmm. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you.
I want you to impart all the geisha wisdom and your own wisdom. Mm-hmm. So let's just get into it. Take us back a little bit before you even started Tatcha. I read somewhere that your mom owned a beauty boutique or boutique.
Oh, you did your homework. She did.
That's how we roll it, Fat Mascara.
She did a Japanese skincare store, and it was in Texas, in Houston, actually. And I was not pretty.
What?
I'm surprised. And I had a perm, including the bangs. And so I was also like the only Asian in my town. And I spent my weekends in high school and college working there and just disappearing into makeup and skincare. And I was like, I'm pretty inside. I have a beautiful mind.
Oh. Did it get you into the beauty industry and the idea of beauty products? Or
I never thought I would end up in the beauty industry. This whole thing turned out to be one big twist of fate. I never thought it was going to happen.
Were you selling products?
At my mom's store?
Yeah.
I was like a shop girl. I like set up the windows. You know, I did sell things to people. I was like a 14-year-old explaining anti-aging to 65-year-old Asian women. Yeah.
But then when you moved on from the store, did you purposely want to not work in beauty?
It never even occurred to me that you would work in beauty because in my time, when you grow up as a second-generation Chinese kid, you are going to be a doctor or maybe a lawyer. Those are your options. So
period.
I thought I was going to be a doctor.
So what did you end up doing when you graduated college?
I came to New York City, woot woot, right here, and I traded credit derivatives.
Sorry. I saw The Big Short, but I really don't want to go back there right now because I had to see it twice to get it. Actually, I really liked the movie. But what did you, like, why did you want to do that? And, like, how did you go from there to where you are now?
I studied economics in undergrad. I just think economics is fascinating. It's half business, it's half psychology. I ended up trading. It was fascinating and fun. My husband and I were both in one of the World Financial Centers on 9/11. Oh. And I was 21, 22 then. And I was an investment banking punk, like any other investment banking punk. And I thought I was a big deal and I was making good money for being that age and thought my parents were proud of me, but I didn't like the job. And then when that happened, it was just like a huge wake up call where I was just like,
when 9/11 happened.
Yeah. Because we were actually, we were down there. We're, you know, throwing distance from the towers mm-hmm. falling. I got home first. We lived in the West Village. My husband didn't come home until the second tower fell. We were only engaged then. And then he got an autoimmune disease for 3 years after that. And it was just it accelerated a lot of thinking. I think a lot of people wait until the middle of their careers to say, will my work give me meaning in life? What is happiness and how am I responsible for my happiness? And it was one of those things where I was like, if you love someone, tell them you love them today. Mm-hmm. If you want to have meaning in your life, find meaning today. If you want to love your work, figure out how to love it today. So I started looking for a different way. So I went to business school. And then after business school, during business school, I interned for one of the big beauty care companies and I tested entirely too many things on my face and I gave myself acute dermatitis. Mm-hmm. So my entire face was bleeding and blistering and scaling.
Wait, sorry. I just want to back up for a second. Mm-hmm. When you went to business school, were you searching for like something, I want to find meaning in something else? Or did you know like business school was the meaning you were looking for?
Business school will definitely not give you
I was
meaning.
Like, yeah, because you're saying I want to find meaning, and then you're like, I went to business school, so I'm trying to connect the dots here.
I skipped a couple things.
Yeah.
Thank you. For me, I figured if work is how you spend the waking hours of your life, mm-hmm. then for me personally, if I don't have meaning in my work, then it's going to be hard to have a lot of meaning in my life. And I'm not a 9-to-5-er. Like, whatever I do, I sort of go all in. But after you trade credit derivatives, you're not really qualified to do a ton of stuff. And so I went to business school to broaden my horizons so I could be qualified to do more than trade credit derivatives.
That's very logical.
Yeah, okay. And then that's when I did an internship where I gave myself dermatitis and looked pretty hideous for a few years.
Oh.
And then after that, I launched Starbucks's consumer products business in China. So I was going to Asia all the time. And there was no direct flights between Seattle, where Starbucks is, and China. So I would fly through Japan. And at that time, with my rashy face, I could only use Aquaphor You know what that's like? It's like a thick Vaseline.
Yes, so we know
it
well.
I look like a greasy hot mess all the time. It was the only thing that didn't irritate my skin.
Yeah.
So when I was in Japan, I would pick up these blotting papers, and I would use them to look a little bit less like a greasy hot mess. And then after I left Starbucks and I was in Silicon Valley heading up marketing at a startup with these four Berkeley scientists who wanted to provide sustainability ratings to people.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to let people very quickly figure out the environmental, social, and health impacts of products that they bought. And the first ratings that they were launching was on personal care, because it's pretty easy. It's chemicals in a bottle, and you run an algorithm on it, and you can tell people if it's good or bad compared to like a computer, which is a lot more complicated. And so then I started learning about all these things in personal care, which made me really sad. We're not regulated here. You've heard it all. And so at the time, I was also pregnant, and I realized that I'm absorbing 5 pounds of chemicals through my skin every year. And even if you don't end up with acute dermatitis like I had, you do have something called bioaccumulation. So I'm passing it over to my child. And then one day I quit. And I was burned out, and I didn't believe in anything anymore. And I just said, I choose happiness.
So you hadn't found the meaning yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Still looking.
Still looking. Okay. It took 10 years. And then and I started traveling. So I'm going through Europe. I'm going through Asia. And I end up in Japan. And I'm not Japanese. So I had to get a translator. I didn't have any money at this point. I'm pregnant. But while I was there, I was looking for those blotting papers.
There for fun? Like, why were you in Japan?
I think I was trying to find myself. And I had called my friend from Starbucks Japan saying, I can't find the blotting papers that I used to use, where it helped me not look like a greasy hot mess.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, they're the byproduct of the gold leaf beading process.
Gold leaf beading.
Yeah. So things that are special in Japan, like they're golden temples, like they leaf in gold. And the way that you take gold and you turn it into gold leaf is you hammer it. And you have to put this very special paper between the gold, or else you get a big gold hammer.
Right.
And the paper that was in between the gold is actually gold leaf beading paper. Mm-hmm.
But it's not made of gold. It's like made of what?
It's a, have you ever seen our blotting papers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are actually the beading papers from gold leaf artisans.
Is it like a rice paper, a wood paper?
It's made out of abaca leaf. And inside of the abaca stalk, there's 10 grades of it. And it's the center, like the fillet of it. And when you beat it, the fibers get spread out, which is why it's so soft, but also so absorbent.
Oh, beat. B-E-A-T.
Yeah.
This whole time I'm thinking beating.
Beating. Beating.
Like I got it now. Sorry. Paper. The listeners probably were there with you.
Yeah, hammering not. Paper. No, okay. You're right. And so then from there, I actually went to the gold leaf artisan's workshop, and there was gold everywhere, like gold in their eyelashes, like gold in their hair, like just gold everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, it really is hammering paper. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, how does the byproduct of gold hammering turn into one of the first beauty products ever? And they said, geisha and kabuki actors have been coming around for a few hundred years using it to take oil off the skin and also set makeup. So you'd have to ask them. And then they introduced me to a geisha, and then I was asking her questions about her makeup, actually, because my face, the doctors had said it was permanent, so I was trying to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they said that your dermatitis was permanent.
Exactly. Because once you sensitize it like that, it really doesn't go back. And I'd used 3 years of steroids and antibiotics, and it wasn't helping. So I was trying to use makeup that wasn't going to make the issues any worse. And I thought, I don't want that look per se, but I know that their artistry predates the petrochemical industry. Therefore, it's quite natural. So perhaps then it won't aggravate my skin.
Okay. Right?
But then I started spending more time with them, and I saw them when they didn't have their makeup on. And it is the most glorious baby skin ever. They have a name for it. Rice cake skin, mochi hara.
Rice cake skin.
Yeah, like mochi.
That. Rice cake skin. So is that a term that people use in Japan? Like, I want rice cake skin?
Mm-hmm. Mochi hara skin. Mm-hmm. Mochi means mochi and hara means skin.
I want mochi.
Okay.
It also, they have this word puru puru, and it means bouncy skin. You know, puru puru skin.
Bouncy skin.
Yeah. So in your search for mochi skin, what does one need to get that, and how would you describe mochi skin?
It is ultra, ultra smooth and very high luster, like a pearl. And the reason that so geisha means art person, and they're not concubines. They never have
been. We should back up for a second. So as you're talking to these geishas, what do they do
in modern
Japan?
So I knew nothing about them, and I learned everything in the process of studying with them. So geisha means art person. They are not concubines. They never have been.
So I never read that book,
Memoirs of a Geisha,
Arthur Golden, right?
Yes.
But I remember it came out and like Madonna had put geisha culture onto the map, or the, you know, onto the American pop culture. Was that a bad thing for geishas?
It was awful. And they shut down and locked themselves into their world after that because it really misrepresented an art that is sacred. So the sex stuff was added in. Do I think in the entire history, they've been around 300 to 400 years, do I think in the entire history of the geisha art that like actresses or dancers or anyone else, I mean, what's happening with Weinstein right now, has anybody ever been taken advantage of? I guarantee it. Was there a time in Japan's history where girls didn't have other options for moving forward in life and then maybe their parents put them into a performing art as a result? Absolutely, I'm sure. But it ultimately, they're artists. Mm-hmm. They're trained in the classical Japanese arts of dance, flower arrangement, tea ceremony, which is almost like a philosophical meditative ceremony. It's such a pure form of artistry. And the white makeup that they're famous for comes from the kabuki lineage. So it's very similar to kabuki art. But I think it's interesting that you can have these kabuki artists that are men and nobody says they're prostitutes.
Right.
But you have a very close corollary. So it's a really pure art form. And that white makeup that they're known for, one is because it's very close to the kabuki lineage, but also because they would perform by candlelight. So that's how you could see them.
Wow.
But that white makeup, just like white painting on a wall, accentuates any imperfections. So any crack looks deeper, every bump looks higher. So they didn't evolve their artistry over hundreds of years to become skincare experts, but just by virtue of the fact that they have to keep a very smooth canvas and very perfect canvas, ended up meaning that they had to figure out how to keep their skin super, smooth, right? Bouncy, bright, soft.
And they probably are experts in taking off makeup, too, I imagine.
Yes, yes.
So what did you learn? So you were studying with your translator and getting into their world and learning about the artistry that they do. What were they teaching about skincare? And how did it even inspire an entire line now?
So they showed me their apothecaries, where they go. Yeah. My translator, Yuko, came with me. And I still have the box that I brought back with, like, rice powder and camellia oil and seaweed powders with her little post-its on it where she wrote, you know, how to use it. I used half of it wrong. But after 8 weeks, my skin completely returned to normal. And even now, it's highly sensitive. So it makes me a very efficient product developer because I can react really quickly. But the dermatitis is gone. And I'm almost 40, and I still haven't gotten a wrinkle yet, and I credit it 1,000% to what they do. So it turns out that 300, 400 years ago when they first started, there was no Sephora.
Obviously.
Oh, my gosh, which is a very scary thought. There weren't really any beauty brands, so they went to what was within reach. And like so many cultures, it's what's in the kitchen.
Right.
So the basis of their rituals are also the basis of their diet. And fun fact, in Japan, they have amongst the longest lifespans in the entire world, especially women. And scientists credit their diet to a lot of it, because when they leave Japan, they'll sort of their lifespan will kind of go down to the average of the country that they go to. Huh. And so green tea, rice, seaweed, they're all superfoods, are just the basis of their skincare as well.
Right. And what about the basis of the gold paper, the gold, what is it called?
The gold leaf beating papers?
That's not a kitchen thing, but that obviously was just because what else are we going to use but the
papers? Exactly.
Okay.
And then what did you wash your face with? Well, pieces of leftover kimono silk.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was all things that are around them that they were using. Camellia oil is actually one of the healthiest cooking oils in the world.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Were they at all hesitant? So you're not Japanese.
No, I'm from New Jersey. My parents are from Taiwan.
And but this is a very, not secretive culture, but like it's, you have to train to become a geisha. Were they when you started this line, did you ever get feedback from anybody in Japan or any geishas that were like, why are you telling our secrets?
So that's the really, really funny part is they have from day one welcomed me. And I would have expected quite the opposite. People ask me all the time, like, why are they sharing this with you? And I mean, I'm just like this pregnant, somewhat sweaty, somewhat dumpy looking, you know, Taiwanese American lady asking some very basic questions about like, do you think I could fix this? So there was nothing terribly intimidating about it. And it was my first geisha who introduced me to the next geisha who introduced me to the next one.
Yeah. And at this point you weren't like, I'm going to make an entire line out and sell it at Sephora.
Exactly. And so now I've been studying with up to about a dozen of them over time. One of them is on our extended team. And so now we're sort of just like sort of part of the squad.
I was going to ask you, from what I understand, and this is what you seem to be saying, that youth isn't necessarily... The idea of youth isn't really the same as, like, the kind of Western or American idea of youth and beauty.
This idea, so, yeah, we love our old people in Asia.
So what has that taught you, specifically this experience working with the geishas? Is it geisha or geishas?
You know, I've seen it both ways, and I'm terrible at grammar, so I always say geisha.
Okay.
But I've seen it both ways.
Okay, yeah. Well, geishas. Uh-huh. Which way... What has your experience working with the geisha taught you about aging? Has it reframed anything for you?
Oh my gosh, thank you. That, I mean, that's a fabulous question, especially because I'm theoretically in the anti-aging business, but we never say that because I don't actually like that phrase.
Yeah.
I think Cameron Diaz actually said it in a book once, that aging is a gift. Not everyone gets to do it.
Are we quoting Cameron Diaz right now?
We are quoting Cameron Diaz right now. I'm pretty sure she said
aging
that.
Aging is a gift.
Because not everybody gets to do it. If you get to 80, it's because you got to 80. You won the big prize. And so, you know, we don't call these crow's feet. We call them laugh lines because you spent a lifetime laughing. Mm-hmm. These are smile lines because you spent a lifetime smiling. So it certainly made me embrace age, and it also made me realize that when I'm with them, and I've got pictures that I can show you here, but you can't tell how old they are. And
even when they're not in their makeup or when they're in their finery and everything.
I have a picture of an 80-year-old on my iPad right behind me where her skin is glorious. It's absolutely glorious. But it's also, they start with prevention. So you had asked me a question that I didn't really answer, which is what did I learn about skincare too? That the cleansing step is most important. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's purifying. And that prevention is far more important than anything because once it cracks, it's really hard to fix it. That's
so
a fact.
It's not that they don't care about taking care of themselves. It seems like it's a little bit of a combination. Like they do care about maybe not aging in the way that American women might care about it. Mm-hmm. They are preventing aging in some ways, mm-hmm. but it's not this attitude of... You know,
youth is better.
Yeah, youth is better. Must fix.
No, there is a beauty to youth and there is a beauty to wisdom and maturity. And one is not better than the other. Mm-hmm. One is more profound than the other, though.
I think it's the wisdom one, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a good lesson for all of us, especially in the beauty business.
Truly, truly. And so, and the other thing that they embrace, and it's also in this book. So geisha don't write anything down.
Yeah.
They teach oral tradition, one generation to the next. But in 1813, there was 10,000 of them. And they were the it girls of their time. And this one very enterprising writer documented what they were doing in 3 volumes and 7 chapters. And it's considered amongst historians in Japan as basically the source code of Japanese beauty. It became one of the most popular republished books. It actually got republished all the way out to the 90s. It's not in print anymore, bits and pieces of it. But we got one of the original copies, translated it, and studied it. And that's actually the basis of our line. Mm. But what I love about it is, one, it's a little sassy. So it's not everything has withstood the test of time. It's like, have you lost your man? One, burn a snake. But most of it has withstood the test of time. But two, it was a very inside-out approach to beauty because they understood instinctively, and this is a kind of an Asian thing too, is that your skin is a reflection of your physical, mental, and spiritual health, which is why when you're sick, or if somebody's like going through chemo, you can see it in their skin. And then if you're stressed out, you see it in your skin. If you haven't slept, you see it in your skin. And then on the flip side, when you're in love and someone says she's glowing, they see it in your skin. And so when they noticed things going on with their skin, it wasn't just about, you know, mashing up some flowers and sticking it on like a face pack. It was also about looking in the mirror and checking in with yourself and saying, am I cultivating gratitude in my life? Am I taking care of myself? Am I resting? Am I sleeping? Am I exercising?
Mm,
it's a very inside-out approach. The truth is, you know, there's no shortcuts to taking care of yourself.
They knew what's up.
Yeah, they really did.
Now, you talked about, now you have this line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you translated a lot of that book and that knowledge into your products.
Yeah.
I also heard when you started your line that you sold your engagement ring as part of the funding.
I did.
How did hubby feel about that?
You know, my hubby is awesome. He's so great. He actually works in the company. He heads up finance and operations. He does. He was really great about it. He didn't mind.
And did you get it back eventually?
No.
I feel like you pawned it, and then I'd go back to the pawn store to, like, find the ring.
Fun fact, no, but my brother just got engaged, so we went back to the same jewelers, and we bought the same ring for his now fiance, and I got to wear it on the airplane, and then I gave it back. But I did lose my wedding ring.
What?
So I had a wedding ring at least, and then I lost it.
I think you're not meant to have rings, Vicky.
Like a year or so ago. I know. So you know what I did like 10 minutes before I walked in here?
What?
I went to Jennifer Fisher. Do you guys know her? She's fabulous. And she has this really cool chain link like wedding band. I just bought it for myself 5 minutes ago.
Oh my God,
no,
that's so funny.
I'm exaggerating, like 25 minutes ago.
Still, well, still today, like within the hour.
This is monumental. It's like you that's just awesome. Got married or something.
I know. Well, I was explaining to Annie that I'm often in hotels all over the world, and I like to go get a glass of wine or sake before I go to sleep, but then I'm like this lady alone in a hotel bar at night.
Oh, so you need a wedding ring.
Right. Because I look like a pro. So I actually, I needed one.
It's all about presentation.
So funny.
Wait, actually, I do want to talk to you about that. Presentation actually is very Japanese.
I thought you were saying, like, talk to her about being
about why you look like a pro. Yeah. No, I want to talk about packaging it, which kind of ties in with that. But your products are always so gorgeously packaged.
You're
like,
so sweet.
So coming from this finance background, was it weird for you to spend money on the packaging of these products? Like, did you think, like, why am I going to put it in this beautiful thing that, you know, is just going to get opened up? Or is that part of the Japanese heritage of the brand as well, the presentation of it all?
That's a great question. Since I'm not Japanese, and I'm drawing from a culture and an artistry that is not my own and that is so special. I mean, their kimono can cost $100,000.
Yeah.
I don't even have a right not to present it in a way that honors everything that they do. Mm. So from the formulas to the packaging, so we have in-house scientists based in Japan. They create the raw materials from scratch. Every formula is from scratch. It can take us 7 years to do a formula. So we build formulas like a couture dress. And then if the pack, but women, people don't generally understand skincare. Like, they'll turn all over the box and they'll look at the inky, the ingredient deck. But even then, they can Google it. They don't really understand. So my feeling is also that the packaging is a signal to them about how much you care. Mm. And so if I put that much effort into your spatula, guess how much effort I put into the actual anti-aging active in there. And so for me, it's just about completing the experience. Also, I feel like makeup is an area in the U.S. that's like, so fun and so lovely, but skincare is kind of like that thing that you
medicinal
did on the
sometimes.
Side. Exactly. Yeah. But I think that it should be a ritual and experiential and sensorial and special.
One part of skincare that doesn't feel like that with a lot of brands is cleansing. It feels like a lot of people say, you know, well, it's just going to go down the drain, or it's just this very like 1-2, you know, quick and dirty, and then move on to the serums or the, you know, moisturizers. You and your line take cleansing very seriously. Why is that?
Two reasons. One, back to the heritage, the geisha, in order to get off their makeup, they have to use a cleansing oil, but it is so good for your skin. As long as you use one that doesn't have mineral oil, you want like a great treatment, botanical oil quality. But you're massaging your skin. Oil dissolves oil, and a lot of the pigments that we use are actually coated in something that's very similar to an oil. So it's the best way to release all of that from your skin without stripping your skin. So that's one. And it's like giving yourself a moment in a massage to just disappear in and melt the day away. Mm-hmm. And then underneath that makeup, they have a layer of wax. It's the same wax that they use in their hair.
Oh.
But then the way that you have to get that wax off is by exfoliating it. But they never use anything that would pull or tug or scratch the skin. They use rice powder that foams and then is an enzymatic. And so it just disappears off the debris from the skin. And so that's the second step that we do. And those two things together, if you do just that, one, it's a beautiful experience. It only takes in total about 30 seconds.
The oil followed by the rice powder?
The rice powder, exactly. Okay. And then two, the results are bananas. So when they always told us that purifying was the most important thing. And in Japan, bathing is like a thing. Like they take a shower and then a bath, like twice a day.
Ooh.
It's like
it's a shabath.
Oh yeah, we talked about this. Yes, yes.
It's like a real thing there. It's almost like spiritual, honestly. It's you're just releasing the day. You're just cleansing
yourself. Yeah, you didn't even say cleansing. You said purifying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It goes inside out. We actually did clinical studies on it, and the results measured directly from the skin, not consumer use, on pore size reduction, fine lines and wrinkles, acne spots, acne overall, age spots, because all of the things that we see that we don't like are generally speaking at the surface of the skin. Mm-hmm. And so if you're just constantly moving that surface of the skin away gently without mm-hmm. drying out the skin, without stealing from the skin, your skin like is glorious underneath.
Right. So you're saying in these clinicals, you're showing even if you don't use a serum or an anti-aging cream or anything, just cleanse the way that you...
Just cleanse the right way.
You can see
you can do that's benefits. 90% of the work. It's the least expensive.
I feel like it's the step I always just like, get it Everybody done. Does. And then I can put on the fancy serums and
Everybody
stuff.
Everybody does. Everybody does.
So are you one of those people now that has like a 15-step kind of skincare?
Never. No. So oh, that's okay. the other thing. Their rituals are only 3 to 4 steps.
Okay. That Ever. Feels doable.
So Ever. It starts with the double cleanse.
Yeah, so at night...
Are we counting that as one step?
No, that's two.
Okay.
Because at right. night you okay. can take off your makeup, so that's one. And then you're exfoliating, so that's two. What they call it polishing, because you polish your skin like a jewel.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Not rough.
Not rough. Yeah. So polished. And then you use an essence. So an essence is a plumping beauty water that makes it goes 40% deeper into your skin than water, so that when you put anything on over it, it goes deep into the skin right. instead of getting stuck.
Right.
So it's an essence that takes 7 seconds, and then you moisturize.
And what are some of the ingredients that are in the moisturizers that you make that have like this big history of proven to work?
Oh my gosh, your favorites? So many. Our classic cream that's really for like normal to dry skin is made out of liquid silk. Because
obviously,
oh God, it sounds so dreamy.
It's so nice. Because silk, if you look at the composition of silk, the reason it feels like you're naked when you're wearing it is because it's almost identical to human skin in its amino acid composition. So the skin has all these different amino acids. Silk has almost all the same ones.
I'm feeling so relaxed with you talking.
No, I know. I'm like,
I don't know if it's the dim lighting in here.
No, it's everything.
And your hands are moving very gracefully as
Say
you
amino
tell
acid
me
to me again.
I think just the idea of like liquid silk.
Yeah.
Face.
Yeah.
It is. It's so cool.
And so you use that ingredient in your...
Yeah,
is that the one product? Like, if somebody is going to buy one Tatcha product, is that the one they should get?
That's a really good question.
I know, it's a stumper. Just
that
gave you a stumper.
It is a stumper. It's a question I get a lot. If you had to use one thing,
what would the geisha say?
Cleansing oil.
Mm.
Honestly, because you got to take off the makeup.
Yeah. She's like, otherwise I'm walking around with this white pancake face all day.
Exactly. Exfoliation, you're going to see the most dramatic results immediately. Beauty Essence makes an essence makes everything else work better.
Right.
So if you don't use that, you're sort of like missing a key step. It's when I started finally using an essence, it was like I realized I hadn't been brushing my teeth all this time. I was like ashamed. No, I brushed my teeth though. And,
it's a gross and then idea. Moisturized.
So they don't do all those steps. You can add on for as
right,
much
right, like
as
a
you
K-beauty.
Want.
I mean, obviously Korea is totally different than Japan, but like it's not that at all. It's 4 steps.
Yeah. If you you want to add on a face mask, you can. If you want to add on serums, you can. If you want to add on mists and whatnot, you can. Mm-hmm. But those are nice to have. Those are like accessories.
And what about color? Because like you don't really do color. What's that about? What were you going to say, Jess?
Yeah, the lipstick. That's like the only thing
that's
I know.
That's the one you use, right?
I do have the lipstick. Daniel Martin gave it to me.
So are you, why only lip color?
It's very red.
It is very red.
I only wear it when I'm feeling powerful or I need to feel powerful.
You know, we had to do her red. Like, if we're going to do a red, we have to do her
like,
red.
Oh, red.
Yeah. It's like the real deal red. But it makes your skin look even prettier. That's what's great about
you
that
You get
red.
Puru puru if you wear the red lipstick. Or how did you say it? I messed it up.
Puru puru? Yeah. Puru puru is bouncy skin.
Oh, I messed it up.
How do you spell that?
P-U-R-U. And then P-U-R-U.
Puru-puru. Bouncy skin. Okay, so the red lipstick won't give you bouncy skin, but it makes your skin glowier.
The essence gives you bouncy skin.
Why, though, did you start with lip color? Like, why didn't you make a blush or an eyeliner?
Actually, that goes back to Daniel Martin. So
all roads lead back to Daniel Martin.
All roads lead back to Daniel Martin. He was doing Chloe for the Met Ball. He wanted a red lip for her.
Chloe 70?
Mm-hmm. And then, you like how I drop her name as if we're best friends?
I'm doing a little rewind for those who didn't listen to the Daniel Martin episode. Go listen to the Daniel Martin episode.
Yeah, that's
Keep going.
Great one.
Yeah.
And so he asked for a red lip for her. And I was like, well, if I do a red lip, I can only do one red lip. And so we did it. And it was picked up by a couple magazines, and then all of a sudden this wait list happened, and we didn't really have an intention of making it.
Oh my God.
And we had this wait list, which is why it took us a year to make it after that. So yeah, we have a lipstick, and then we launch one every year in the spring just as a, you know, little surprise and delight. But they have gotten to the point where they sell out and they crash our website within less than a day. And people do not like that when that happens. So we're trying to bring that back more.
And so what was this year's color?
This last year was Twilight, a Cherry Blossom. And it was inspired by my friend Akane-san, who is a top geisha in Kyoto.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her what her memory of cherry blossoms was when she was a geisha. And she said, well, we only do public performances twice a year. Cherry blossom season is one of them. But we're performing, so we can't see them. So what we do is when we're done with everything at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, we get together and we would walk under the night sky and see night cherry blossoms together. And I had this vision of geisha, just like a group of them, kind of silently walking under a canopy of night cherry blossoms. And at night, cherry blossoms take on a very different life. They're during the day, they're baby pink and pure. At night, they're almost they're very sensual and uh-huh. and but still very pure at the same time. So we use that to create the shade.
Beautiful. Ooh, good yeah. story.
So tell me about your skincare routine. You gave us the, you know, the quick and dirty mm-hmm. Four step.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you actually do? Because you have beautiful skin.
Oh, thank you so much. Because I'm not getting any younger. mine changes every week because I'm in a different city every week.
Oh, wow.
So like 2 weeks ago, I was in the Himalayas, actually.
Me too. Mm.
Really?
Oh. Well, I was in Nepal like 2 weeks ago.
We were so close. I was in India.
Oh, you're like the right. only people that have ever had this conversation.
I love I'm pretty sure that. The people in the Himalayas do.
I love
Besides
that.
The Himalayas.
It's very dry.
Yes, yeah. It was so dry.
So I had to do things that were really, really, really replenishing for the skin.
Mm.
Normally my skin isn't that dry. What were you doing in Nepal again?
I was following some female surgeons that were doing reconstructive surgery.
That
so
is
I'm
amazing.
Writing a story about it.
Can I share what I was doing there, by
Absolutely.
The way? And then I will share my skincare. Every full-size purchase funds a day of school for a girl
yes.
in a developing
yeah.
country through Room to Read. Yeah.
And so you were with them
I was with Room to Read visiting the program. We crossed, actually I haven't said it publicly yet, we crossed 1.5 million days of school in August, and we're tracking very quickly to 2 million days of school now.
Your products, by people buying them, you have now funded 1.5 million days of school for girls?
More than 1.5 million.
Breaking news on Fat Mascara. That's awesome.
Amazing. The clients have. We're just that's the great. Conduit for it.
Still,
the
that's great.
That's great.
Oh, that must have been so rewarding to see that in practice.
I've been very lucky. I've gotten to go to Cambodia twice with them. We were in India, and then I'm going to Africa next year. But it's those experiences are life-changing, as you know well,
yeah.
Since you were there too. But all that travel means that my skin is like constantly jet-lagged
yeah.
and dried out.
So give us the moisture.
The moisture?
Yeah, how did
okay.
you do it?
So let's see.
Enough about the philanthropy and all the good works of the world. How do we get moist skin?
Let's get back to cleansing oil for sure, because I have to wear a lot of makeup on the road. So that's how I take off my makeup. That takes about 20 seconds to massage and then rinse. Then I always use an enzyme powder, and there's four different kinds for different skin types. And so I always tend to go back to the classic, which is also made with crushed pearls.
Mm.
Pearls are a great conditioner for the skin. So that takes about 10 seconds on and off the face really fast. Then I do the essence to plump my skin back up. It actually plumps the skin by over 140% instantly. And you just pour it like a little well and then pray your hands and then press it to your skin and it's done. So I do that. And then a moisturizer. And so when I'm not using the silk cream, I use the water cream.
Mm-hmm.
The water cream is an oil-free moisturizer that is ultra hydrating. The formula looks like a pile of water balloons underneath the microscopes. And
Ooh,
then when you press it tripping. To your skin, they burst and they release Japanese wild rose, which is an extract that tightens pores, controls oil production, and also clarifies the skin. So I use that. That's my
That's
ritual.
Cool. I want the little baby bursting
I know,
water
that
balloons
really
in my skin.
It's called the water cream, and it's like everything that you need and nothing that you don't.
Okay. Now, what about you guys don't do hair care or really a full face of makeup, so can you share with our Fat Mascara listeners some of your favorite products that might not be Tatcha?
Oh, of course. I'm okay. always happy to do that. Let's see. For hair.
Because you're a beauty girl. Like,
oh,
I
am.
Yeah.
Where should we start? nails. I love Butter London.
Oh, we never asked people about nails. I'm glad you started there.
Yeah, you got to start, you know.
Okay.
They have a shade called Yummy Mummy. Also, Essie has one called Go Go Geisha, and I didn't realize it was called Go Go Geisha, and I wore it for years, and I still do. Oh,
that's funny.
What color is it?
It is. It's very similar to Yummy Mummy, but a little bit more gray. It's like the beautiful grayish.
Uh-huh.
So those are both great ones. I prefer Butter London since the formulas are clean. Mm-hmm. They're the three free. Mm-hmm. So that's hands. For hair, I love Dry Bar. They've actually got this fantastic, I think it's called like Texas hair or something for a little volume.
Oh, you're from Texas, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, you have a good memory, yeah.
Yeah.
I just love love their products. Really good products. So that's for hair. For makeup, let's see. Daniel's always giving me Dior, so it's hard not to love that.
Hard life, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel, Martin. So I do like that. Let me see what else.
Your lashes are like on point today.
Ardell 110.
I was like, are they real?
Yeah, I had to make sure I look good for the podcast.
Right, because everybody can see you. We'll snap a photo after so everybody can get a taste of it.
Maybe you could teach me how to apply them.
Do you do a whole strip yourself, or are they individual?
I do a strip. I also do individuals sometimes. I don't have individuals on today. I learned how to do them by watching a YouTube video. What's her name? I have to think of her name. She's a British makeup artist.
Oh, Lisa Eldridge.
Lisa Eldridge. Yeah. She has a phenomenal
how to put on
and
eyelashes.
It's so easy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So I pop a lash on. Normally I pop a lash on, I throw a red lip on.
And is there mascara with the lashes or just the lashes?
When I'm in person with someone, I don't do the mascara because it's like a little bit too much.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right.
Look at you. Thanks.
I'm sure you want to ask her about fragrance.
What do you spritz in the morning?
What do you spritz?
I have a deodorant that I'm really passionate about.
I'm not talking about
Now I want to know that, too.
It's the Crystal one, and they sell it in Whole Foods, but they have a liquid version.
Oh, okay.
And it's the only natural, alumina-free one that I found that actually makes you smell lovely.
So you're using that in place of fragrance?
No, but I just thought I'd throw it out there since you were talking about deodorant before.
So what do you use for fragrance?
But Jo Malone, the human being, has a brand called Jo Loves.
Yes.
And she has, thank you for reminding me, she has these ones where you can like paint fragrance
onto yourself.
Yes. I just think that's so sophisticated.
The gesture of it, yes.
Yes.
Which one do you like? Pomelo? No, I don't know.
Annie, what's my favorite?
Is it White Rose and Lemon Leaves?
That sounds right.
White Rose and...
Thank God for Annie.
White Rose and Lemon Leaves.
PR extraordinaire.
Annie.
Yeah, just in case you're not in the room with us.
Right now. It's just like...
She's got a helper.
Spitting out the info.
And what about candle? Any candle you're into, or are you not a home fragrance person?
Candle.
Just grill you before we get you out of here. Sorry.
So...
You're a very sophisticated lady. I feel like you have it together. I want to know.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, like you guys, I am obsessed with cats.
Okay. That's not me. That's Jen.
Jen is not.
Whoa. Don't put me in that cats. Group.
Okay. But we are a fine group.
You are, and I love you all dearly. And so where is this going? You're obsessed with cats.
And I have three.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, everybody
so
should
lucky.
Rescue. Yes, three. I might get four. And they play with fire.
Well, wait a second.
They're not the smartest. And so every time I light a candle.
Oh, you can't do candles. Okay.
You have to get like some like diffusers.
I know. So they have like no whiskers. They have no eyebrows. There's like wax splattered everywhere.
No
so candles can't happen in my
house. Environment. Okay. I don't know if we should be getting a phone call.
That was a long way to answer your question, P.S. But,
no, you're not a candle woman.
You're going to have to make a little phone call after this. You may be going from three to no cats.
She doesn't burn her cat. She's being careful by not using candles ever again.
I didn't realize they weren't smart.
You know, you'd think an animal would see fire and be like, I'm not going to go near that.
Yeah.
This just proves my point about cats.
No, Janetta doesn't go near the flame.
Okay, all right. We're taking it off topic. Okay, so no home fragrance for you. But so many other good products. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, this was so
this
fun.
Was good.
This was everything. Thank you. Thank you for making this little Asian girl's dream has come true.
Oh my God, you're welcome. That's all it takes. You're welcome.
Oh my God. This is good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys later.
Bye.
It's time to raise the wand, and I went into a minor key with this little song. Jess is tired and sick, so I'm just bringing the energy,
people. All right.
What do you got for me? What are you raising a wand to?
Well, this is what I was alluding to before. It's a really creamy, creamy concealer that really does the job.
For the moisture therapy? Mm-hmm. Or what did you call it?
For that moisture theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly blends very easily. Benefit Boing Industrial Strength Full Coverage Concealer. Back in the day, like I'm going to say 20 years ago, they had a Boing concealer, and I used to use it then. Now, I tried Boing again recently. They definitely changed the formula. Benefit publicists, feel free, or product developers, feel free to confirm or deny this, but I'm going to guess that you definitely changed it to make it creamier and have more slip. It's full coverage, ideal for blemishes and dark circles. And it has a matte finish. Hmm. And it just blends like a dream.
This is a pot concealer you put on your finger?
Exactly. Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
Just check.
It comes in 3 shades, so not the hugest range, I have to say. But
Benefit, get on that. You have like 42 shades of brow products. Get a girl some Boing in her shade, shall you?
But it works for me.
That's a good one.
And it's $20. It's not the cheapest, but it's not the most expensive. And I really enjoy it. I think it gives great coverage for
It's good for a morning after situation this time of year.
Yes, it definitely is.
I'm going to blow your mind with what I'm about to raise a wand to.
Blow it.
I recently discovered this brand called Girl Undiscovered, which is a New Zealand
I've heard of this brand.
Yeah, okay. So it's beautiful, and the packaging looks like it just came out of like Anthro or Urban Outfitters, like hipster. There's crystals involved, and I don't know. We've gotten talked about the crystal. I just can't get on board with that. However, they have this thing called the Under the Waterfall Crystal Cleansing Water. It's a little twee. There's a beautiful girl in the packaging, and she's like off in the New Zealand wilderness. And inside the glass bottle, there are crystals floating in this. Can you believe I'm even going here?
This is weird that you're picking
right?
this.
However, I was testing the product, and I said, let me have an open mind about it. I actually took off the lid and dumped out the crystals. Like, I grabbed them out with, like, a tweezer because I was like, I can't have these crystals.
Wait a second. You took the power away.
Girl, I did not. I took away the annoyance so that I could enjoy the product because the product is fabulous. So a lot of people have told us that you want to use, like, an essence or not a toner but a moisture, liquid moisture thing before your anti-ager because then it makes it more effective, right? Because it infiltrates? That's not the word. Absorbs.
Diffuses.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
oh.
After I cleanse, I've been using this Under the Waterfall Crystal Cleansing Water, like a toner, but it's not alcohol-based.
Okay.
It has Manuka honey from New Zealand, like a couple essential oils, and then some sort of special water that's like crystal-infused, whatever. But it's lovely. It's cooling and refreshing when you feel all dry because you put on your heat because it's wintertime.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it just has this lovely cooling sensation, and then it smells nice. And I feel like then I put on my anti-aging products afterwards, and they're just like sinking in better. And it also gets rid of like a little couple last traces of makeup. So
nice.
I know it's a very hippie product for me to endorse, but I'm doing it. Raise a wand to Girl Undiscovered.
Raise a wand. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.